I'm sure this sort of talk would be enough to quash some men's appetite for what they were about to do, but the doctor wasn't that sort of man. When he'd finished his explanation, he said to me, "This is the second time I will have the opportunity of collecting a specimen of your blood. May I show you?" I'd noticed that he'd arrived with not only his leather overnight bag, but also a small wooden case. The doctor fetched a key ring from the pocket of his trousers in the closet and unlocked the case. He brought it over and swung it open down the middle to make a kind of freestanding display. On both sides were shelves with tiny glass vials, all plugged with corks and held in place by straps. Along the bottom shelf were a few instruments, such as scissors and tweezers, but the rest of the case was crowded with these glass vials, perhaps as many as 40 or 50 of them. Except for a few empty ones on the top shelf, they all held something inside, but I had no idea what. Only when the doctor brought the lamp from the table was I able to see white labels along the top of each vial marked with the names of various geisha. I saw Mameha's name there, as well as the great Mama Kichi. I saw quite a number of other familiar names as well, including Hatsumomo's friend Korin. "This one," the doctor said as he removed one of the vials, "belongs to you." He'd written my name wrong with a different character for the Ri of Sayuri, but inside the vial was a shriveled-looking thing I thought resembled a pickled plum, though it was brownish rather than purple. The doctor removed the cork and used tweezers to take it out. "This is a cotton swab that was drenched in your blood," he said, "from the time you cut your leg, you recall. I don't normally save the blood of my patients, but I was very taken with you. After collecting this sample, I made up my mind that I would be your Mizuage patron. I think you'll agree it will make an unusual specimen to possess not just a sample of your blood collected at Mizuage, but also a sample taken from a laceration on your leg quite a number of months earlier." I hid my disgust while the doctor went on to show me several other vials, including Mameha's. Hers contained not a cotton swab, but a small wadding of white fabric that was stained the color of rust and had grown quite stiff. Dr. Crabb seemed to find all these samples fascinating, but for my part, well, I pointed my face in their direction in order to be polite, but when the doctor wasn't watching, I looked elsewhere. Finally, he closed his case and set it aside before taking off his glasses, folding them and putting them on the table nearby. I was afraid the moment had come, and indeed, Dr. Crabb moved my legs apart and arranged himself on his knees between them. I think my heart was beating at about the same speed as a mouse's. When the doctor untied the sash of his sleeping robe, I closed my eyes and brought a hand up to cover my mouth, but I thought better of it at the last moment in case I should make a bad impression, and let my hand settle near my head instead.